Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the China Startup Pulse, your looking glass into the China startup scene and investment ecosystem. I'm your host, Ryan Shukin, and today we have one of my favorite times of the year, China Accelerator's 8x8 speaker presentations. We do a speaker presentation in Beijing and in Shanghai with eight amazing mentors who share their personal experience, their journey, and how you can benefit from their lessons in a personal 8-minute presentation that is focused. And in this show, we are sharing this as a 3-part series to share with you and help you understand what it's like, the challenges, and how to better yourself in entrepreneurship here in China. We start with our first series, which is about the life, the journey, and the creative output of an entrepreneur. Our first speaker is Ilya. He's the founder of Culture Yard, and he talks about the 4 principles for focus to define your mission and achieve anything you want, no matter where you are. Our next speaker is Tim Coolgan, who is the managing director of Coolgan and Lee, and he talks about having a crisis in your life and how you can turn a midlife crisis, a crossroads, into a successful moment for you, how you can take that and build upon your own brand and your own future. Then finally, we talk with Kurt Shi, who is the founding partner of Imprint Capital and Follow the Seed. He talks about creativity, the mind, about all of the aspects of entrepreneurship that he believes is an important idea. And he shares with us as a food for thought from him himself. I love these series. I love these talks, and I'm so excited to get into it. So without further ado, let's listen from the speakers themselves. Hope you guys enjoy. Cheers.
Good evening, everyone. It's my first time talking at China Accelerator, so I'm quite excited. My name is Ilya, and I am the founder of Culture Yard. For those of you unfamiliar, Culture Yard is a Chinese language school. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. And the reason I chose this topic tonight, because the power of focus is something that I had to learn myself. And by not being focused, I almost lost my business twice. And eventually learning how to be focused is what makes me and my company successful today. So when I just started Culture 8 years ago, I had this very broad idea of what I wanted to do. I wanted to create a space that would be both a language school for many different languages. I wanted to create a cultural center, and I wanted to create a community all in one. Sounds great, no? So unfortunately, it didn't really work that way. Over the first 2 years, we started all these different programs. We had more than 8 different languages, including like rare stuff like Hebrew, Portuguese, and Russian, and also English and Chinese. We had at least 2-3 different activities every day with different film nights and excursions and lectures about different stuff. And we even were organizing parties, and we had beer and food in the fridge, and it was all looking very great on the outside. But on the inside, it was a huge mess. We couldn't really do all the marketing for all the stuff that we were doing. The administration wasn't really there. And I ended up just running around, putting out fires, and slowly just getting burned out and fat and exhausted and unhappy, and we were not making enough money for me to pay my rent. So at that moment, I decided to focus, and I wanted to do just one thing and do this one thing super well. And at that point, from that point on, Culture became just a Chinese language school. But then I decided I was going to build the best Chinese language school. And for the next 3 years, that's pretty much what we were doing. I hired a whole new team. We created our own products, we created our own methodology, students started coming, and we even won some awards for being the best language school in Beijing. And you would imagine that by that time, I have learned my lesson. But unfortunately not. The second that the school was running and everything was okay, I just went all over the place. I stopped coming to the office, I started doing some freelance work with some government delegations. I joined the board of a chamber of commerce. I even opened a second company renting out electric bicycles even before Ofo and Mobike started. One year later, I find myself again without any money. My rent for the courtyard where culture is was due in 2 weeks. And courtyards are quite expensive nowadays, just for to let you know. And it came kind of pretty much all of a sudden. And at the time, what I remember, I was just devastated. I wasn't prepared for it. And the only thing I wanted to do was just to give up, close the school, go away, you know, start my life all over again. But I couldn't really do it because I already have students and I have teachers. And I cannot really sell the company if the company is not making much money and I cannot pay my rent. So the only thing I could do is get back to business and get myself focused. So I found a friend. Thank you, Dan, if you're here, who borrowed me some money, who lent me some money. And I went back in. And for the next while, I was doing pretty much everything at the school. I was the first person to come in and to open the door. I was the last person to leave. I was meeting all the students. I was doing all our administration, all our purchasing, all our social media, organizing our events. And literally in a few months, everything got back to normal. And luckily, I continued with that focus until today. And today, Cultured is doing great. It's doing better than it has ever been. So today, I want to share with you four lessons that I've learned that keep me focused today. Lesson number one, be present. Even now that the school is going really well and I don't really have to be there, I come every day, even if it's for a few minutes. I go over the list of our students and I make sure that I know each and every one of them. And I come during our lunch breaks because this is when the teacher and the staff is relaxed and they have time to just chat, to find out if there are any problems, if there are any things we need to work on. And I'm also there for our most important clients. I would send them a WeChat message once in a while. I'll meet them for a coffee. Next thing, define your mission. And I'm not talking about a very big mission that a company should have. I'm talking about your most immediate mission that you need to work on right now. Usually, a friend asked me the other day, so how do you define your mission? And for me, I know that most immediate mission should be something that I'm avoiding or something that I usually don't like doing. Because if it's something I like doing, I will probably already be doing it. So just to give you some examples, let's say you have somebody important in your team that is not performing, but you already get used to each other and you like working with this person. So you kind of avoid dealing with it or you're avoiding firing that person. And that might be your most important mission at that moment, just to deal with it. It might be that you have a great product and your marketing is okay, but you need more sales. But you're not really a salesy person. You don't like going out and talking to people and doing anything about it. But that might be the most important thing you need to do at that moment. Next thing, create accountability. As a business owner, and quite the same in real life, it's very difficult to have accountability because I don't really have a boss. So nobody can ask me, hey, so what's happening with that? So the way I create accountability for myself today is by sharing with every person I know what I'm working on at this moment. So right now I'm working on creating more partnerships with universities and schools abroad that will help me bring more Chinese people who study Chinese to China. So now all of you know this. And next time you see me, I will be embarrassed if I'll be working on something else. And the last thing is think long term. I think as a foreigner in China, we all come here for the short term. I came here for a semester and I stayed here for 10 years. And I made a very big switch when I realized for myself that culture is forever. Maybe it's not really forever, but in my mind, I decided I'm going to do my company forever. And it made me work in a very, very different way. Because now that I know that I'm working on it forever, I'm working on the small, important details that I was neglecting before. I'm building a very, very strong foundation that will help my company grow in the future. So these are my 4 points again. Thank you very much.
I've been in China for half my life and I'm turning 40 next month. So simply by virtue of my age and seeing so many young people, I hope to have a nugget or two of knowledge for you. Tonight I want to speak about some of the long-term issues and challenges that come up when you commit to a long-term life as China, as a non-Chinese. The Chinese in the audience, you could simply think of some of the things I say as if you went abroad or if you're living in a different city. So it's things that come up when you're not living where you're from. So I first came to China as a student and then came back after university, and I found a real niche helping luxury and fashion brands open stores around China. This is the real core of my 30s. I got into a real good swing. I was an influencer in the industry. I got to meet famous celebrities, open big stores for fancy brands, and go to lots and lots of parties. Life was coming along really nicely. And the first major thing that came up in my life was getting married. Now, this is my wife, Enoch. I put her QR code here because she's also a mentor for China Accelerate. She spoke last batch and also does a lot of work on adult development. So we'd met outside of China. We came to Beijing together, and after we came here, she went through a period of severe mental illness. And we come from such different backgrounds that for us, exploring the issue of marriage was very challenging because we knew there was a risk there that wouldn't work. And just like as an entrepreneur finding a founder, you know, getting into starting a company with someone is very serious business, and there's a lot that could come out of such a deep and relationship we spend so much time together. So we actually did some marriage counseling, and I'd almost recommend that founders do pre-startup counseling together, because the counselor helped us bring out issues that we hadn't thought of and that could be deal breakers down the line. And these include things like what lifestyle we envisaged, where did we want to live and die. You know, I've been in China a long time, I plan to stay a long time, but I don't see myself dying here. Ethics, behavior, these things we've clashed on a lot and really had some issues around. And then, especially Western and Chinese culture, as they age, often in Chinese or Asian culture, the parents in law move in with you. Well, I wasn't having any of that, so we had to really work through that as an issue. And I love this quote by Jeff Bezos on what he wanted in a wife, or what maybe you'd imagine in a co-founder. It's someone who'd get you out of a third country prison. Not necessarily about looks, not necessarily whether they can cook a steak well, it's, you know, something serious like getting you out of trouble when it's shit hits the fan. The next issue for me was having kids. Now, this is also something you should talk about with a co-founder or potential mate. Even tonight, there may be some hookups, so although some of you are very young, this could be a while off.
You can put your kids in international school or in the local school, but that affects the philosophy of them, how they're educated, how they're raised, so that's a very important issue. Again, talk about through these things with a potential partner. I think it's the message I'm trying to get across here is the more you talk about this up front, the better you'll have later on. You won't have false expectations. You won't have assumptions that may be misleading. It's just thinking, we'll figure it out later, doesn't always work. And I've got lots of friends who've been divorced and lots of issues to prove that. Pollution's definitely getting bigger in China, but when things like the environment and where I wanted to raise my kids became a major issue for me and almost led for me to leave Beijing. And this is the big one, and I've put it in red, because once you're in a serious relationship, and then once you have kids, you have to start dividing the resources of yourself as a team. It's something you'll have to do in a startup as well. Who becomes the CEO? Who gets to do the media attention? Or in parents' case, who's staying home to take care of the kids? Who's going out to work? And if one person's doing really well in the career, the other person's changing nappies all day, resentment starts to build in, and I've felt that, as so has my wife. For the mother, she has to go through 9 months of pregnancy. So that's a big halt, usually, to the careers of the women. So my major challenge in the 20 years I've been engaged with China is after having kids, and I started to feel an identity change, going from being the fashion guy to the parent or the stay-at-home dad. And it's not that you can't be both, but becoming a father started getting me to question my values a lot. So I started questioning my values about how I wanted to spend my time. And this is something I'd encourage you to think about as well, especially when you embark on a startup, which is going to be very, very demanding, especially if you have a co-founder. You need to be on the same page of what investment in time and financial resources and emotional resources you expect from each other. I started to question what career meant to me, what was health. I was traveling a lot, second-tier cities, on planes a lot, eating Kentucky Fried because that's all there is in a lot of Chinese airports. Health wasn't going well. What does friendship mean long-term in China? Because a lot of your friends leave. When you have kids, you start hanging out with other families and your friendship dynamics change. So all these things come up long-term. And then I was also addressing all of these issues in the context of being in China. And so what is health or wealth or long-term prosperity to Chinese people, because that was different to how I saw things, and I was having a lot of conflict around that. And so all these things, I was really uncontent or discontent with my situation. So I thought, look, it's China making me feel like this. It's time to leave. We've got to get out of here. At the time, it was a few years back, and the pollution was very bad, and a lot of people were starting to leave. So me and my wife, we did a bit of a matrix, and, you know, Beijing, Hong Kong, Sydney, what are the cities we'd consider living in? What's the housing? What's the education? What's the startup environment? What's the entrepreneurial environment like in these cities? And by going through this, actually it turned out that Beijing still, and China was ahead for one thing, and that was opportunity and career. And we decided to stay in Beijing and knuckle down. And also through going through this process, I realized that it wasn't China, it wasn't Beijing making me feel bad. It was a stage of development I was going through as an adult. And so again, if you're committing to building a company in China, you're going to be here for a while. And there's going to be ups and downs, and sometimes you may question, if you're non-Chinese, you may question yourself, you know, is China where I want to be? And this process helped me. So there's a study, and I did a lot of research and self-development. There's a study called The Seasons of a Man's Life, and they've done one, The Seasons of a Woman's Life, about the different transitions that adults go through in life. And I encourage you to look this up or ask me about it. And I realized I was stuck in a midlife transition, figuring out not just where I came from and who I am, but what I wanted to be next. And what I envy about a lot of you young people is, you know, when I was your age, there was no startup scene. There was no less opportunity. So I really envy that you, from tonight on, you can choose who you want to be. So really what to do about this, I'm getting low on time. So I think self-awareness, knowing yourself, is the answer to a lot of this stuff. I like the Toyota five whys question, which is trying to get to the bottom of things. You want to do a startup, why? You want to be rich, why? You want a Ferrari, why? Because you want to pick up chicks, or you like going fast? So use that to get to the bottom of things in your behavior. So I've now got a new emerging identity. As anyone who doesn't know what they should do these days, you should just become a key opinion leader. And it turns out that my fashion background and my fathering style is quite well received by people. So these are my current daddy media channels. If anyone's interested in following, it's a lot of them are new. There's not a lot of content.
Great pleasure being here. As I have been with CA for a long time, really. Today, I'm from Imprint Partners, Follow the Seed, and we're in Chicago. And today, I'm going to share with you some of my random thoughts between doing a startup and action sports, one of my long-time favorite hobby. Okay, when I was very, very young, similar to Tim, Tim is not here. We're actually a long-time friend. My dream was becoming a professional skateboarder, but as you can see it, obviously, I failed. Okay, then I also was lucky enough, I participated in some internet startups, late 1990s and early 2000 in China. So experienced some big bubble and also the bubble burst. So again, failed. So somehow, one of my mentor who actually led me into this investment world, somehow we started doing angel investment in China's startups back in starting from 2000 something. So this time we were very lucky, got some not bad exit. So one of our company listed on NASDAQ back in 2005, that one really gave us really good return. So that's why I continue to do this. Then later on we did Imprint Capital, then Follow the Seed in Australia, then Wellington Shi in US. Okay, this is my story with China Accelerator. So somehow in 2010, a guy called Cyril tried to talk to me on LinkedIn, saying that they're doing something really cool called China Accelerator. Then we had really good chat. Then since then, I became one of the mentors. Okay, this is something I just had had been thinking when I prepared for this sharing. The first thing I found similar between action sports and doing a startup is mentality. Because you are doing something really difficult and something you never did before, so you got to have a can-do, turn the impossible thing into possible kind of attitude. This is really important to every guy who either practice skateboarding, surfing, or doing startup. Okay, also doing a startup always about choice. It's about to choose what you do, choose your team, choose your marketing strategy, choosing your IP strategy, okay? So, and to do your hobby, for instance, to skateboarding very well, you got also choose something you can do really well. Okay, this is the fun part. I think this is really, really similar between skateboarding, surfing, and also being an entrepreneur. Because for every great entrepreneur or great, if we call skateboarder athletes, that you can really have a lot of fun actually when you fall off. And if you ask every successful entrepreneurs, what's the most fun part of your journey, then most of them will tell you, I think that how they beat with the failures and the difficulties during their journey. Okay, and on the other hand, usually when you become the best, you kind of losing the fun. That's why are so many so-called serial entrepreneurs, because they simply want to do something different once they've been there, done it. Okay, so this is about creativity. If you want to be a good skateboarder, it's all about to find a great new terrain, new environment with different challenges, and use your creativity to achieve your own unique stuff, same as startups. Okay, niche also is another my favorite word. I think everyone, ever since you are born, you're trying to find your own niche. If you are lucky, then you can find your niche. If you keep trying, then you got it, then you will be one of the happiest guy in the world. So it's all about find a problem and try to do it your way, do it very well, and you become one of the best. Okay, finally, we talk about culture. Culture, of course, is always very, very important. If you're doing a startup, it's all about to find great leaderships in your team to build a great corporate culture and find peers who can be very helpful in different ways. Back in the day, there was one of the most successful skateboarding team in the US called Bones Brigade. Anyone here know it? Okay, good. Thank you. So that team actually starting from 1970s, also continue around 20 years as the number one, if not, maybe not the number one, but definitely one of the best skateboarding teams. They have Tony Hawk, they have Rodney Mullen, and they have Pavelinder. Pavelinder happened to be my managing partner in the US fund, okay, by the way. So it's all about finding great leadership and build your culture. The China story, one of the most interesting ones would be Alibaba. Thank you.
Hey everyone, I just want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsor, China Accelerator. They are an accelerator based in Shanghai, bringing international ideas into China and Chinese ideas international. They're number one in what they do. They are a three-month program, and they help build your idea and make it amazingly successful. You can find out more at www.chinaaccelerator.com. People Squared is the original co-working space in China. It's your home for startups, no matter what you're working on. Small team or large, it has all the resources, the environment, the culture, everything that you need to take your idea and make it successful. Founded by Bob Zheng, an entrepreneur himself who really understands what startups need, it's a great place to bring your team and find success. You can find out more at people-squared.com.